Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Force Chatter. I'm Eric, and I'm here with Tim, and no Tom, and no Lou. It's kind of like last week, except different. I don't know what's going on. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Eric. I'm doing pretty well.
I'm doing you? Okay. You know, I probably should have done audio check before we started, but your levels seem okay. So I guess that's a good sign.
Okay.
I'm doing okay. I just started a new job this last week, and I have a normal sleep schedule, so I'm adjusting to that. I feel like I'm about to become a normal human being again. I'm gonna be a real boy.
Good. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a lot, and I told you that, like, with being an assassin, for the most part, I mean, you can really, like, kind of go with your own schedule mm-hmm. and work around family commitments and that kind of stuff. It's nice.
It can be.
It's nice. And like, if you want to sleep in and stuff, that's yeah. good. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you need a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's only if you get caught. Oh,
that's true. That's true. Anyhow,
I mean, if you're needing a lawyer this soon,
I am new, try this,
a different career,
Tim. And frankly, your training was a little lacking. Just saying.
Well,
we will get to bounty hunting later on in the episode. We do have a couple of things to cover here in the news. Not a whole lot. Been yet another slow week. I think it's just everybody is so exhausted from 2020. Now we're into 2021. And what was able to get started up did. What couldn't still hasn't. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a lot of news. We are still going to be covering the High Republic stuff. We just need to get everybody on the show again. So we're going to come back to that. And I still want to talk about the fact that I mentioned in one of the books. And I'm so confused. My name is literally in one of the books. There's an extra letter in it, but otherwise, literally in the books.
It's very
it
close.
Is creepy.
It is very close.
It is creepy. And I didn't see the book. I'm listening to the audiobook, and then I heard it. And I'm like, wait a minute. No. And I rewound it.
Did someone call
like,
my name?
What? And I pulled my phone out and I did a Wikipedia search. And I'm like, no, that's there's no way. Like, that's just too much of a coincidence. And yet nobody said anything mm-hmm. to me about it. So I'm like, well, what, you know, maybe it's just me. I don't know. But we're going to discuss that and the rest of the High Republic very soon. But we have a new comic book series that just got announced, a mini series. We've got a new video game coming up that we know very, very little about. We talked on Random Chatter. This isn't Star Wars necessarily, but two stars from the Solo movie, Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller. Something. Phoebe Bridge Waller Bridge. Now I feel like an idiot. It's not in the show notes because it's a random chatter item and not
Waller Bridge.
Okay. From Fleabag, by the way, which was phenomenal. I still have to finish that up. But they are going to be doing a Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot series for Amazon. So if follow...
This is the first
I've heard. If you follow Star Wars tangential things, you know, you'll want to keep an eye on that. Donald Glover just inked a big deal with Netflix too. 8 digits. So do the math.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Anyhow, and there was one other item in the news here. I've got my mouse pointed on the wrong computer here. I thought there were three things. Oh, yeah, and a little thing about Rian Johnson. But first, you missed it last week. And I know that, you know, it's kind of old news now, but I wanted to get your take on this Gina Carano thing. And I'll tell you what we did last week, too. We tried to not go too far down the rabbit hole of politics. It's hard to not at least mention cancel culture. But, you know, we tried to really just look at it in the context of how it affects Star Wars and Star Wars fandom and stuff like that. And then we have a little tiny tidbit that just came out from the Hollywood Reporter that we want to get to. And that's probably what I really want your take on. But, you know, when you saw this whole thing with Gina Carano happening in the news this last week, what did you think? Like, what was going through your head?
Well, you know, and I know you guys talked about this before. It's obviously been something that's kind of been simmering for a while. Yeah. It started several months ago. And, you know, I'm willing to give anyone a pass, you know, benefit of the doubt. You know, you make a statement. Okay, it's fine. And obviously people have different political takes on things and you know, other opinions and perspectives. And I try to be as respectful of that as possible.
You and I are very much on that same page where you, just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean that it has to turn into a war. It doesn't mean there has to be a lot of hatred. Doesn't mean, you know, it's not an attack.
Right.
You just disagree.
Yeah. And so, you know, without diving into details, which again, you guys already covered, you know, she started venturing into statements that simply weren't true. She started, and it was interesting with, I mean, some of her stuff, there were a few things of hers that were very blatant. There were some statements of hers which were vague enough that there could have been like this benefit of the doubt that she would just simply make a statement out there about something or retweet something without commenting on it. And, you know, of course, kind of the general concept applies that a retweet does not generally equal endorsement. The problem is that she established enough of a pattern for herself. And when you relate that to the stuff that she did very directly say, you know, there's then a problem. Mm-hmm. And there are clearly some statements that she was making, again, some factual things in terms of the pandemic and that kind of stuff. Things that she was saying that were rather bigoted toward certain parts, toward certain groups of the public. And, you know, that kind of stuff really can't be ignored, especially when it's repeated. And I think that there's consequences to it. And, you know, a lot of people have been so quick these last couple of years to throw out the term cancel culture. Cancel culture is one thing. Consequences are a completely different thing. And she faced the consequences for what she put out there. A lot of, you know, a lot of Star Wars fans stood against her on this. And obviously, you know, Lucasfilm listened up with it. I also know, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to make, you know, went after her, but they didn't go after these other people for saying these things, or they've ignored the fact that, you know, this person has these beliefs or whatever. There's a lot of significant differences in these things. I mean, she is out there and was regularly making a lot of these statements or alluding to these things. You know, whereas there's people in the public who want to, you know, knock someone because of their religious beliefs or something like that. And I think that that's, you know, they're not sacrificing puppies or children. You know, and they're also not out there blatantly, you know, preaching their religious beliefs, you know, contrary to some concepts of, you know, in the general public. So, I think that it's, and of course, you know, all this stuff gets fueled by social media, which is a terrible, wonderful thing. You know,
it's
social
terrible.
Media is the monster that it's built for itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it was fitting. I mean, she's not a great actress, but I liked her as an actor, Cara Dune, in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to point out, this is not your internet connection going wacky. It's Tim's.
Yeah, it's mine.
Fine.
Mine is, tonight seems to be a little wonky. But then, as you said, Eric, we did get some news from Hollywood Reporter here a couple days ago.
Yeah. So this is so we should clarify, it's not news per se. I really kind of feel like it's common sense speculation from Hollywood Reporter. Comments from Lucasfilm on this report. Lucasfilm has given no comment. Now, where I got this from is a website called TV Line, where I get a lot of television news. And they got no response from Lucasfilm officially. They said that a source within, it almost sounded like it was a source within Disney Plus, more so than Lucasfilm, said that the report is false. The report is that Cara Dune will be recast. Now, I didn't get a chance to actually read the article from the Hollywood Reporter, but from what little I've seen, it's almost more of a common sense thing. There's too much involved in the marketing. I mean, the characters, the action figures, the Black Series figures and stuff have been flying off the shelves. They're hard to keep in stock. People really became attached to the character very quickly. As we said last week, there was going to be a series announcement for her character, allegedly, at the investors call until it got yanked at the last minute because of the stuff she was saying on social media back in the fall. Disney said, you know, let's kind of cover our bases here. We'll do, people are saying it's what the Rangers of the New Republic would have been. And so they said, we're just going to call it Rangers of the New Republic. And that way she can be, she can't be, like it, we could go either way and we're safe. And then they decided to let her go. But I was making the point last week, and you missed it, Tim, that she's different from a lot of the fictional science fiction characters that we see, in the sense that a lot of times when you see a female combatant, they're very nimble, they're ninja-like, the physicality is all grace and acrobatics, or you get a sniper character, something like that. There's not a lot of physicality and strength and pugilism. And she was very much a soldier in a way that you don't typically see a female character. And that's just one aspect of the character. There are lots of different things about the character, I think, that are really relatable and interesting.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
That's because I wasn't talking to you, Alexa. Okay, I'm going to mute this now. Ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get to actual Star Wars technology in our day-to-day lives, the more it fails. This is why we don't have real droids. Just saying. Thanks, Alexa. What was I saying now? I think that, and she's one of the last Alderaanians, the last people from Alderaan. There's also that too. To just throw the character away seems like a waste. If they waited some time and then recast, I think it could work really well. And this claim that either Lucasfilm or Disney Plus is saying, yeah, it's not a thing, that it's a false report. Okay, it's a false report today. Nobody said that someone has been cast. The report was that casting is being looked at for down the road. I mean, they don't even have the Rangers of the New Republic series set up yet. I don't think they have a showrunner. They don't have scripts.
No, it was just barely announced. They probably just have a show concept and that's it. They haven't done any other
I imagine they're working on establishing all that right now. There's a whole process. People think about pre-production. You still have to get all those pieces in place. You have to hire an art director and you have to hire a costume person, and you have to hire casting staff to do the casting, to get the cast to do the shooting. So, you know, they're still in that process. They've got a while.
Yeah.
So even if Lucasfilm did come out and say, listen, we're not recasting anybody right now, doesn't mean they won't a year from now or 2 years from now. What do you think though?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent. I do agree that it is a bit of a waste. I mean, they spent some time developing her character, and it would be unfortunate to just kind of have the character go away. That said, Cara Dune was never so pivotal or so central of a character.
Absolutely.
That she can't just go away. And they can bring in another character to serve the same literary function. Who can be just as awesome and badass as Cara Dune was. And again, I like the character. Sometimes it can get a little too awkward to recast.
And I think that's really the big concern. I mean, really, when you think about it, that's the only reason to not recast is because it breaks the fourth wall for the audience to some extent. And people, they're like, oh, that's not what I'm used to that person looking like. And then you start getting all the comparisons of, well, which actor played the character better? Was it this person or that person? And it opens up an entire discussion that is tangential to the actual content and not at all what the content creators want people focusing on. So, I mean, look at all the stuff about the Quicksilver thing in WandaVision. And I won't get into any more of it than that because some people are probably still catching up. But I mean, if you're listening to this and you're on the internet, you've already heard anyway, but still, you know, we had a Quicksilver in the MCU. We had a Quicksilver in the Fox movies. And now that whole discussion is coming back around again. Well, Marvel wants people focused on the content. I mean, they want people talking about the show at all, right? I mean, no press is bad press in theory. So discussing it at all is a good thing. I get that. But really, the discussion about, you know, the one actor versus the other actor and you know, which portrayal is better and blah, blah, blah. That's not the actual story or the content. And that's what the creators are trying to get through to people. You know, the writers, the script writers and the directors and those people, that's what they want people talking about. So once you start recasting people, it's a distraction. So.
Yeah, it can be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly enough, there are. That said, there's also some really great examples in pop culture where recastings were pretty successful, where they didn't cause a lot of disruption. Yeah, with James Bond, it's kind of a given. With Batman, it's kind of a given. Was the recasting of Rhodey between the first and second Iron Man movies. That said, the MCU then is not what it is now. You recast someone in the MCU now, and it's going to be a big deal. There's going to be, especially if it's a major character, it's going to be a Batman level discussion. You have, but then, you know, it wasn't as big. Carrie just posted in the chat. Doctor Who.
They have wrapped that into the actual storytelling in a way that it fits the story continuity. Not that it doesn't mean people aren't still talking about casting outside of that, but it's a good example of it being successful, but it's also a little trickier because they've woven that into the story. So I don't know. I think if enough time passes, this could be, it could be okay.
Yeah. You know, I think it'll be fine. Like I said, I'm still ambivalent. I see pros and cons to both of it. Ultimately, in the end, it's not her show.
Yeah.
Anyway, her meaning the character Cara Dune. And while she's a great character, the show can certainly
the Mandalorian
go on without
can,
her.
But to be fair, she actually was going to have her own show. So.
Well, yeah.
But
also again in that regard, they announce a title and a show
it concept.
Could
be anybody at this point. But that's why you cover your bases.
Exactly.
That's why Lucasfilm was smart when they changed that around, assuming all of the reports are true, but there were so many reports. That was smart. Right? To kind of cover your butts like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. Yep.
All right. Well, the next thing to talk about, there are some things in Star Wars where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I know,
really?
Right? I know
not
it's hard
Star
to believe.
Wars. Star Wars has like so little controversy. people really don't care about what goes on in Star Wars.
I gotta say, it's funny because a couple of decades ago, if you told me that there was going to be this much controversy within the Star Wars community, I would have looked you in the eye and said, you don't understand the Star Wars community. That could never happen. This is the most closely knit, accepting, welcoming fan community in all of geekdom, right? And now it has become the example of toxicity. Like I literally, off the top of my head, I can't think of another fandom that is this just, ugh. And yet I love Star Wars. Like, I'm not going to not be a Star Wars fan. What do you do? Right?
Right, right. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, there's days, and what it usually boils down to is, you know, that I need a break from Star Wars social media stuff. But there are certainly days that I just get so ticked off and frustrated over stuff going on that I'm like, you know what? I'm done with Star Wars. I'm not going to, I don't care about anything with it. I'm not going to podcast about it. I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I'm out.
I've been there.
And then I'm like, well, all right. That's not what it really is. It's I'm ticked off at a subset of people who are just rotten asshats doing whatever it is that they're doing. That's really what it boils down to. And that I can largely step away from.
And that's one of the reasons I try to avoid social media whenever I can now. And I don't regret it. Like there are some times I kind of wish I could hop in and really enjoy it, because I see so many other people seemingly enjoying social media. But then every time I do it, I'm like, I was so much happier before I loaded up Twitter. And then I close it and I don't regret it. 5 minutes later, I don't feel that need of hopping back in, because you know what? If there's something important happening on Twitter, I'm going to hear about it anyway. This whole fear of missing out thing, it's not real. I'm not going to miss out. I still hear about it. What I'm missing out on is all
of
the barking back and forth. And that's okay.
There's not a lot of FOMO on your
own? Not really. Nope.
No? Okay.
But the reason I bring this up, one of the most controversial things recently, before the Mandalorian issue, the one thing that united us all, oh my gosh. But before that was the sequel trilogy, and specifically Rian Johnson. And I still think it's funny. You know, it came up in Discord the other day. Somebody was made a joke about, and then, episode 7. And I'm like, but that was the best part of the sequel trilogy. Like, that was the least, in hindsight, that was the least controversial. I know people at the time, there was a lot of talk about it. But I mean, then you get episode 8 and then you get episode 9 and you look back at episode 7 and that's the safe one. Right?
Yeah.
But Rian Johnson did an interview with USA Today recently, and he confirmed that his trilogy is still on. They don't have a time frame because he already has other commitments. So they've not locked down a time frame yet. And Lucasfilm, on the other hand, has locked down release dates for other things, including Rogue Squadron, the Taika Waititi movie. So whatever the Rian Johnson trilogy is going to be, it's going to be outside those dates. So it's going to be further in the future. And I know a lot of people are still like really worked up about all this stuff. I was not a big fan of episode 8 either. There were parts of it I loved, parts of it that were just trash. And, I'm happy to have that discussion with people. I'm a little more upset about episode 9 than I am any of the others. But I think there's a discussion to be had here. A lot of Star Wars fans, they hear Rian Johnson's name, and they're like, oh my gosh, burn the guy at the stake. He's done some really good movies, though.
I think he's a great filmmaker. I think there were, we've talked about a lot of the missteps here with the sequel trilogy. And I think, we've talked about it a lot to that extent to not dwell too much on it here. A lot of what it boiled down to simply was a lack of coordination across it as a trilogy.
That was the biggest thing.
And
but then a lot of people say, but Ryan Johnson came in and without the management oversight, he took things in this obviously different direction. So there's still some of the responsibility people claim, and I don't dispute this, that rests on Ryan Johnson.
True.
But that's what you get when you bring Ryan Johnson in. So here's the thing. If you look back at his stuff, he did Looper, very much kind of an outside the box sort of story. He did Brick.
Good movie.
Brick, kind of a detective noir story, but set in high school. Also really, really good movie.
Brick I'd never seen, but Looper I'm
I didn't
I'm
see
a fan
Brick
of.
Until a year
movie.
Or two ago. In fact, I think it was last year, and it was really good. And I think I watched it just after we covered Knives Out, which is another good Ryan Johnson movie.
Knives Out is fantastic. In fact, Rob and I just rewatched that a little while ago. Great
it really
movie.
Is. But Ryan Johnson thinks outside the box. He does his own thing, and he does it really, really well. I think it was a mistake to bring him in the middle of someone else's story. He was the wrong guy for that job. That does not mean he's the wrong guy to do something else in Star Wars. If you gave him his own story, his own concept, and his own trilogy, which is what they're doing, I think when we get to that point, I think people are going to be eating crow. I think their story is going to change, and they're going to appreciate the fact that they will have gotten a deep, interesting, compelling story. I think that he tried to think outside the box with episode 8. And if you look at episode 8, there are some deep, deep things there. There are themes of learning from mistakes, ironically, learning from mistakes and regret and responsibility. And there's a lot of different... There's a lot of thematic depth to the film. And I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
But it took the overall story arc and just tore it into a different direction. So I think that was the problem. You don't bring him in the middle of someone else's story. You give him his own thing. And if you give him his own thing, I think this is a really good thing. I'm excited for a Ryan Johnson trilogy. I really am. And I am not a fan of episode 8. It was okay. I'm not a hater either, but I'm never going to hold it up as, you've never seen Star Wars before? Wait till you get to episode 8. No, it's never going to be that.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this? Like, is this, do you think he's getting a bad rap? Do you think, are you excited to see this come down the pipe, or are you ambivalent? What's your thoughts?
No, I'm excited about it. I mean, he is a proven filmmaker, and while he obviously caught some bad rap with what he did in the sequel trilogy, I think that, it's almost demeaning to say that he has potential because
he's already succeeded.
He's obviously
Academy Award nominee.
He has proven talents. Yeah. I think that, and actually Joe just put up in the chat, and I tend to agree with Joe. Episode 8 is a great movie on its own.
Except Cantobite.
But by and large, if you just kind of take episode 8 and you relatively isolate it, and you can go into it with some Star Wars knowledge, but not really leaning heavily into the story that led into it and the story that follows, by and large, episode 8 is a pretty good movie. So, I'm looking forward to see what he does. I think very clearly it won't have anything to do with the Skywalker saga. And, ideally to be something completely new and different that either we've not at all seen or experienced before in Star Wars, or that maybe we've only played in a little bit, something like the High Republic, something like that, where there's some source material, but we don't have a lot of stuff, where people can go in with a lot of preconceived notions and say, well, that's not right, and nitpick at this and nitpick at that.
Right.
I think it could really be a good trilogy.
And I think that's another important point too. If we get something where it's an untouched area of Star Wars, we either get Joe in the chat room just said the Old Republic. I think that's a great sandbox for him to play in. The High Republic era, it kind of sounds like we're going to get a definitive bookend on mm-hmm. each side of the High Republic. So I don't know about that. The unknown regions, we talked before, Lucasfilm really seemed to set that up. And it's still untouched at the moment. So there are areas of Star Wars in which he can dabble and not affect other things. And I think that's where we need to put him. We don't want to put him in the midst of something else. We don't want to put him, even the High Republic, I think, could be a mistake if he's too close to other things. And it's not that he would destroy them. I really think that the situation with 7, 8, and 9 was a very isolated sort of situation. I think if you gave him 7 and 8 and 9 himself, he would have done something good with it. But Abrams is one type of storyteller. Johnson is another type of storyteller. And then when you bring Abrams back in and say, now continue on from what that other guy did, they don't talk the same language.
Yeah. Well, and we were so used to such intimately connected films with the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy because George was there and he was so hands-on with them. And even if he wasn't the director, he was still very hands-on with it. So everything was there. And, you know, everything was lined up consistently and the way that he had intended it. And the sequel trilogy didn't do that.
Say what you want about the other stuff. If you think the original trilogy is dated and doesn't hold up today, if you're not a big fan of the prequel trilogy, whatever, you have to admit those movies flowed smoothly from one movie to the next. And these new ones did not. So, but anyway, my point is this. I am not trying to convince people to like episode 8. Far from it. I am not trying to defend the sequel trilogy. I am trying to defend Rian Johnson's reputation as a filmmaker because everybody who hates episode 8 keeps talking about how much Rian Johnson sucks. Rian Johnson simply does not suck. He's legitimately a good filmmaker. They put him in the wrong scenario. And he shouldn't have been there. And I think that's the problem. It's not that Rian Johnson is incompetent. It's that was not the right place for him to be. That's all I'm saying. If you gave him his own project in Star Wars, I think he's going to blow it out of the water. I think it's going to be great. I really, really do. And I will never, I don't think, change my mind on how I feel about episode 8. So anyway, I wanted to point that out because again, with this having just come out this week, I would really love to see a little less hatred in the fan community and a little more acceptance and healing and unity. And I think that this is one of those things where if you step back for a moment and look at it objectively, there's reason to be optimistic about this. And not only am I okay with it, I'm looking forward to it. And I think that people need to accept it's an entirely different situation. The situation is what caused the problems in episode 8 and 9, not the person.
Yeah.
So, all right. The only other things we have, new comic book and new video game. The video game, we don't really know a whole lot about. This came out of the Nintendo Direct keynote, which I actually didn't watch, but I caught the little bits and pieces of afterwards. There's going to be a game called Star Wars Hunters. It is apparently going to be focused on bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. It's coming out for the Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. I don't think it's coming out on other platforms. I don't know about PC. It's going to be a mobile.
It's funny that we're leaning back into this bounty hunter thing where there was so much of this like undertone in the Star Wars fandom for so long about, hey, bounty hunters are so cool. Even though we saw bounty hunters on film for a number of minutes that you could count on one hand. There was just such this you know, subculture and fandom that was built around Boba Fett and the other bounty hunters and all that stuff. And then we have the Legends books with it and all that. And then now suddenly we see the pendulum, you know, it went away for a while. And then now the pendulum is swinging back with the return of Boba Fett and the Mandalorian. And now he's going to get his own show. And now there's a new comic book arc across the Star Wars comics, covering Boba Fett and other bounty hunters. And now we have this video game. So it's like,
now we have a second arc.
Like there's a second arc in the comic books too.
It's the other item. It's called War of the Bounty Hunters. So I don't know if this is what you were talking about or not, but there's one that's already been ongoing, which honestly, I've been kind of lukewarm on. I haven't caught up with it. First two issues.
The one that's ongoing isn't an arc. It's not own a miniseries? Standalone series called Star Wars Bounty Hunters.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Called Star Wars Bounty Hunters. This new arc that they talked about is actually going to cross over multiple Star Wars titles.
The War for the Bounty Hunters?
Yes. It's going to be there. They are going to have a title of that name, but it's also going to hit. I think there's going to be one or two issues that's going to be in. Basically each of many of the ongoing series, which cover that same time period, like Aphra and the new Vader series and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All I know is it's supposed to focus on the other bounty hunters going after Boba Fett after he gets Han Solo at the end of Empire Strikes Back. And it will end with Boba Fett getting Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt. It's going to be weird to see how they're going to run that through different titles.
Mm.
But, I mean, if they can do it, I guess that's a good thing. It's going to be five issues. It's going to be written by Charles Soule, who's done other Marvel comics for Star Wars, including the High Republic comic book. And I don't know, when I saw this, the first thought I had was it sounds a lot like the comic book series from Shadows of the Empire. If you remember Shadows of the Empire, there's game that followed Dash Rendar. There was the novel that covered various characters. There was a comic book that specifically focused on the other bounty hunters hunting down Boba Fett to get Han Solo so that they could get the bounty with Jabba. Well, that sounds exactly what this comic book series is going to be. I hope that maybe by weaving it through the other titles, maybe we get something different from that. I don't just want another modern version of that story. I'd like something different. It's going to be coming May 5th, and it's going to be running through October, though. So, I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope it's better than this current Bounty Hunters thing. Maybe I just need to give it more time. It's just been hard to invest in.
I was all in when it started, and a few issues in, I dropped it. It was not all that exciting. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of interesting characters, but I just really didn't like the story with it. And it wasn't really holding my attention.
Well, I'll get around to it, but maybe I need to catch up on Aphra first. We'll see. But back to the video game real quick. Like I said, it's going to be out for Switch, iOS, and Android. I don't know when. It is going to be a mobile battle arena game. Now, I've not played any of those. That's stuff like League of Legends and those, right? Okay. Very popular genre of video game right now. I don't know. Maybe this will be what gets me to play that type of game. I just, you know, I've always got my phone with me, and so I keep wishing I had something better to play on my phone most of the time. But then when I think about a game I get really excited about, I don't want it to be on my phone. I want it to be on, you know, a computer monitor or a television. You know, I want to be able to sink my teeth into it and not have to sit there. Oh, I meant to hit that button and I hit that other button instead because it's so small. And then the buttons cover up the screen that you're watching the game on, too. It's, I don't know.
True. I mean, at least on an iPad, it's, you know, a lot of these things are at least better. And they have really been creating a lot of good iOS games that do a lot. I mean, there's a lot more out there than just
It's gotten Match 3 much, games. Much different than it used to be. Full controller support.
Yeah, there's some really terrific stuff out there. But no, I agree. There's a completely different feel to having something that is either on a console or on a computer, and a different playability to it as well.
Uh huh.
Speaking of which, where's my
PS5? I don't know, Tim. Where is your PS5?
Still waiting.
I still want to group up and play Squadrons or something. You got to do it soon because I'm starting to get into World of Warcraft again. And I got to tell you, I forgot how addicting and fun that game is. We're going to play Squadrons. We got to do it soon, dude. You got to get your PS5, man. What are you doing?
You're going back to, and it's funny. I say this in jest because I know that World of Warcraft like has been kept up quite a bit.
It's having a resurgence.
It's still hugely popular. But the game came out. Yeah, the game came out over 20 years ago.
The funny thing is,
which is just wild.
BlizzCon was this weekend, and one of the big announcements was you can play classic World of Warcraft, which is like the vanilla before all the expansions, before they streamlined the leveling and stuff, like back when the grind was a nightmare. They let you play classic World of Warcraft back before any of the enhancements of the auction house. Like if you really want to torture yourself, right? So one of the big announcements from BlizzCon this weekend was the Burning Crusades expansion is coming to WoW Classic. So the first expansion, I'm like, why is that even an announcement? Like, I thought the whole point of playing that was because you're nostalgic and you don't want that other stuff. Like, you know, World of Warcraft it's still massive. When I log back into it and you get the list of all the servers and then you see the population things. And I know like Star Wars, The Old Republic, they had such a low population on a lot of the servers, they would consolidate the servers. And a lot of, MMOs have done this over the years, especially when they're about to die out. I'm looking at this list of WoW servers, and it's like full, 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 high, 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 full, full, medium, wow. High, full. Like, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's really this last expansion, Shadowlands, brought a lot of people back to the game. And there's so much more to do now. You can go back and level through previous expansions, because when a new expansion comes out, it might, like a dragon might come through and like decimate half of a continent or something. Like a city may be laying in ruins and whatever. And that's permanent. Like that's canon now. But now you can go back and play like the earlier versions kind of like in an instant. So you can level through and get all those old quest lines and learn what that story was. And so it's almost like having a big multi-hour long flashback of going through that story content and then coming back to the main game again. You can collect pets in the game that'll follow you around. A lot of games have been doing that for a while. Star Wars The Old Republic does that too. But now in WoW, they can battle and you have pet trainers and you can find other little pets out in the wild to fight against. So it's kind of turned into Pokemon.
I was just going to say, so now it's kind of, you have like,
yeah,
a Pikachu
except
in your pocket.
It's like a little war dragon thing or a core hound, just like this little hell dog with like lava and smoke or like a little void walker thing. Yeah. It's interesting.
What I got to say though, is that like that kind of stuff is interesting because there are, like there's aspects of that like wouldn't really interest me at all. But then likewise, there are aspects of the game that wouldn't necessarily interest other people. And so I appreciate the fact that you can, in a lot of these games, as they're developing them, you can really kind of focus on the stuff,
right,
on the aspects that you gravitate to and become like a true expert at it, which then also means that like, your expertise is not only fun for you, but then also other players can come to you and they can benefit from that expertise through some kind of a transaction or something like that. And it really, I like that kind of open world type of specialization and way of play and that kind of stuff, because I, you know, it's, you and I are old school gamers, and especially when, you know, they started coming out with a lot of like the multiplayer stuff that was internet enabled, even before something could have even been regarded as an MMO. Like, you had people who just did those things, and like, they would just absolutely destroy everyone. And then it kind of takes the fun out of the game, because it's like,
right,
well, I'm a casual player. I'm nowhere near as good as, you know, the player whose name is, you know, God 123.
There's no way to,
I get shot. Yeah. Right. I get shot as soon as I spawn. What's the fun? That's it. But now it's like, these things are just so open and so flexible, and there's a lot out there. And if, you know, maybe people aren't interested in the shoot 'em up part of the game, well, that's fine. You can do the Pokemon.
There's PvP
in the game, and
there are these large raids where you go in and fight these godlike creatures. And if you don't want to get into all of that, there's just, there's exploration. There's some people just go around, they'll gather like mining materials or like herbs for different crafting supplies. And then they'll go back to the auction house. They'll sell those to the people who actually want to do the crafting, but don't want to run around all day collecting all the materials. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there's even, they've introduced a way now that if you don't want to pay the monthly subscription, if you're in the game, you're high level and making all this money, you can use the gold in the game to buy a token through the auction house to cover your monthly subscription to the game. Which, for a lot of people, that's like, they don't pay to play WoW anymore. They just use their in-game gold to cover their real world $15 a month to play. Which, you know, I don't know. I think, and to be clear, Star Wars The Old Republic is like, it doesn't have that in it, but like, it's also really easy to get into, really easy to level, lots of different things you can do. If you don't like one aspect of it, you can do something else. So anyway, we're going to log off, but if anybody out there does want to play Star Wars The Old Republic, get on our Discord server. Another thing that's really, really made online gaming a lot better, and I think that's helped World of Warcraft come back too, is Discord. Anyway, hop in our Discord server, get with Carrie. She is still maintaining both our light side and dark side guilds. I forget what level she said they're up to, but they're like way high level now. So even if you just want to try it out, a lot of these are free to try out. So, you know, talk to Carrie if you want to try Old Republic. Talk to me if you want to try WoW. I'd love to get like a random chatter or force chatter network WoW guild going on. Just for fun, you know, hop in, play around, log out. I don't care. Doesn't have to be hyper competitive or anything. And our Old Republic guild is the same way. So.
And don't talk to me.
Don't talk to Tim. You know what Tim likes to talk about? For those who are new to the network, Tim is our resident MCU guy, Marvel Cinematic Universe. So go to randomchatter.com/discord and hop into any of the Marvel related channels there and start up a conversation with Tim about his all-time favorite Marvel movie, Ant-Man. He loves talking about Ant-Man. Paul Rudd, let me tell you, this guy worships Paul Rudd.
I don't mind.
But you have to admit, now that he's Ant-Man, you appreciate him that much more. It's like your two favorite things in the world is blending into one.
You're
freezing up, and I'm not joking. Say that again.
On at least two channels right now on Discord, Mike has been poking me with
Ant-Man gifts.
Yeah.
So, I'm very much against the GIF spam, but I tell you what, if it's Ant-Man and it's in one of his channels, you have my blessing. Just saying.
It's actually in quote Mike's channels, because I poke him about the whole, you know, Martha thing, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Wasn't that a Brady Bunch thing? Martha.
That was too.
That's Marcia.
Oh,
yeah. But I'm sure you could take away to turn that meme.
Oh, Marcia. Yeah.
Tim, that's what you do. You get a clip of Jan Brady doing that, and then you just put Martha in the Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I'll tell you where you can send me the check for that one. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Forced Chatter. Don't forget to check out randomchatter.com for all of our podcasts. And if you're listening to the audio version and not the video version, head over to randomchatter.com/YouTube and hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Please hit the like button. Please don't hit the dislike button. We'd rather you not do that. Let's see what else. We mentioned the Discord server. Oh, randomchatter.com/store. I'm not wearing one today, but we've got, keep it clean. Oh, there we go. You can't quite see it, but you can see the words random at the top there. That's our new Force Chatter logo. And we've got different t-shirts and hoodies and sweatshirts and stuff for a lot of the different shows on the network. So be sure to check those out. And then finally, go to randomchatter.com/Patreon to help support the network. Everybody who does, even if it's just $1 a month, because we're a nonprofit organization, you officially become a member of Random Chatter, which is awesome. And then you get different perks and stuff like that. Are you guys still doing the watch togethers for the WandaVision?
Good question. We have been. 2 weeks ago, we didn't, just because of a scheduling thing. I had a medical issue I was dealing with, and then we just kind of couldn't get people together. It is Uh-oh. What it is. No one really said, hey, you guys didn't do a watch along episode Uh-oh. This week. So I did kind of, put some feelers out there and say hey, has anyone been listening to him? And a couple people have said, I listen to him, not all the time, mm-hmm. Whatever. And so it's one of those, I think what we're leaning toward is we may not finish up WandaVision doing them. We talked about, maybe once Falcon Winter Soldier comes out, maybe we'll do the first couple of episodes, see mm-hmm. if people like that. We take no offense to it. We know it's not for everybody. And, certainly we want to put our time and effort into things Absolutely. That people are going to enjoy.
But that's one of the cool things is that when you guys give us feedback on stuff, we listen. And we are still dedicated to bringing you bonus content. So what we can do, and mm-hmm. we're going to do this during the off season anyways, bring back Behind the Curtain. And just do some mm-hmm. additional bonus content for our bonus level Patreon donors. So, yeah. And now that I have a regular schedule, that should make things easier, at least for me. And we'll just have to work out Lou and Tom and Lizzie and the others. But yeah. So anyway, that's one of the perks that you get through our Patreon page. So be sure to check that out. That is going to do it for this week of Force Chatter. If you're there in the chat room, stick around, give us about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and we will have Random Chatter coming to you here in just a few minutes. Until then, take care.